topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast.
Did you ever watch, it's like a early 90s show, Parker Lewis Can't Lose? It was kind of a takeoff of Ferris Bueller in like tone. But
it sounds familiar, but I don't know that I've ever...
The phenomenal actor Corin Nemec stars as the titular Parker Lewis. You would recognize him or not from Stargate. But anyway, Parker Lewis Can't Lose. There was a scene where they would go, they're like high school students. And imagine just Ferris Bueller, but with the friends. And synchronized swatches. And they would all put their hands in and like they all have these brightly colored early 90s swatch watches on. And they would all set their watches to the same time.
Okay.
That's what I think of when I think of those claps. I'm like, synchronized
swatches. Speaking of Stargate, did you see my post about like
this? There is a Stargate?
There is a Stargate, yeah. Somebody like in the outskirts of a small town in Ohio called Ashland that I have like some family ties to, actually. But
I was gonna say, I drive through Ashland all the time.
Yeah, past the cheese barn.
Not all the time, but yeah. Well, we don't usually go to the cheese barn, but that has our favorite pit stop on I-71.
Fin Feather Fur. You don't seem like the hunter type to me, Carla.
No. Like literally, that's where we go to get gas and to use the restroom.
Okay.
It's our favorite bathroom.
Okay. Yeah, that place. I forget the name of the place. It has a big T on it. This is okay. Let's stop this right here because this is so deeply uninteresting. But no, yeah, some guy built a Stargate in his field with his kids just as a project, and it's kind of been somewhat mm-hmm. discovered on social media as things tend to mm-hmm. do. And so I saw a post about it. I had to drive down there and see it myself.
Oh, did you go down?
Yeah, that picture I posted was one that I took.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen, it's been floating around, like you said, on social media.
Yeah.
Now, is it on private property? You have to ask permission to go look at it?
Yeah.
Or is it near enough the road?
Well, it's on private property. It's fenced off. And there's a big sign on the fence hanging saying no trespassing. So we kind of parked right on the edge of the road. So we were kind of on the road. I was maybe a foot or two mm-hmm. on, but there was just an article in, I think USA Today, that they interviewed the guy and he's like, please everyone stay away. This is like my place. So
yeah,
do as I say and not as I do and don't go.
I built this really cool pop culture thing and somehow it got out. Like somehow it got publicity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's in the middle. There's no reason you'd be driving by there unless you were like going to somewhere on that road, really.
Yeah. Kiddo and I, so kiddo likes to like snuggle at bedtime and watch videos, and her current kick is fail videos. And so both of us are in the habit right now of saying, what was your plan there? What was the plan when you built a giant Stargate, like a scale, like 1-to-1 scale movie prop, you know?
Well, and to be fair,
what,
I guess
what did you think was going to happen?
I guess it's been there for 15 years. So it's been a while. Well, it's just now being kind of discovered. Yeah. So,
I mean, he could definitely make money off of that as a wedding venue. I'm just saying.
That's such a good idea.
Right?
I mean, there's insurance considerations and stuff, but at the same time, like worth it. I would argue.
There's insurance considerations. And as you know from wedding planning however many years ago, you make the people getting married pay for that.
Yeah. And on the topic of weddings and fail videos, I don't...
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. Ooh. I don't know what possessed me to do this, but before I proposed to Dana, I watched a bunch of videos of failed proposals where the person says no, just to psych myself up for that possibility, although like I did not think it was a possibility.
No, I mean,
there's videos of people like they do the whole like at a basketball game or like this really public place,
yeah.
You know, where the person's like obviously very embarrassed to say no. And then what do you do? There's one where the mascot was just standing there like, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
It's also kind of funny though. What is it? Schadenfreude kind of getting enjoyment.
Schadenfreude. Yeah.
Getting enjoyment out of other people's misfortunes. Is that mm-hmm. the correct? Okay. Well, hello, Carla.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
I'm sleepy. I've been up so long.
Yeah.
I had to be at work very early.
We record earlier. I'm sorry, we've been recording later lately.
Yeah, well, because, you know, I'm at my house, so
yeah,
we can each, like, actually have dinner.
Right.
And then I'm not driving.
I do miss the days where you didn't work.
And... I mean, you and me both.
And I mean, I can usually start late because my team's all further west. And so that was very convenient.
Yeah,
because we're all bright and, you know, bright-eyed and ready to tackle the day in the morning. And
yeah, we're adjusting because I've mentioned, you know, Rob has gone back to work. So now we're back to being a two working adult household. Kiddo is old enough that, you know, she's got a key if we're ever not home. I'm modifying my schedule so that, like, the day that Rob has to go in office, I'm going to work remotely that day. So that there's theoretically an adult here in case of, like, snow days. Or my hometown school district, they must have, like, one main service that provides phones to multiple school districts. Because multiple school districts had to close today. Because yesterday there was a car that crashed into whatever facility it provides both internet and phone. And I guess, like, they had power, so they kept classes going yesterday. But for today, they're like, yeah, we don't love, like, that our security systems aren't working. The emergency notification systems aren't working.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, have a day. Like, the kids aren't going to care.
I feel like if you were a school and everything relies on the internet, you'd have a backup. Like a second provider?
I don't know, because it's a government contract. Like, I know my workplace, we get our phone service. It's through, like, a state contract that we piggyback off of.
Yeah.
So we're locked into, like, there's one vendor.
That's right. I remember back when I did work for schools, you're right, there was a local, like a regional organization that handled all of the computing needs of...
Yeah.
Of the schools. And happy episode 60.
Ooh.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I can't, mostly because I number all my files of the episode numbers. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of wild to think we've got more. I mean, we have been at it for a while, but we've got more episodes than there are weeks in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. So that means since we do this, well, I know we had a little bit of a hiatus. We've been doing this for over 2 years.
What is the 60th anniversary? Is that a, let's see, 75th Diamond Jubilee? What is 60? Is 60 something? It's got to be something. Ruby?
I'm going to ask ChatGPT.
Oh, what could I go wrong?
The 60th anniversary is traditionally called a diamond anniversary. It marks six decades,
so
often celebrated with gifts or symbols of diamonds to represent strength and enduring value.
The diamond episode.
Happy diamond. Yeah, happy diamond episode. We have a voicemail.
Yay.
Shall we listen to it?
Yes, please.
Carla and Matt. The sleep episode, I am made of opinions and things. This is crazy. Because, you know, one thing was that we didn't talk about the power nap, which is, to me, maybe one of the most beneficial sleep things, especially... get on in years, you know, approaching middle age or maybe already there, but the power nap during the day, if you can swing it, you know, working from home, yeah, you can maybe swing it here, but in an office, I have mastered the art of napping during my lunch hour to the point where I have a setup in my office to where I can swing my office chair, lock the back of the top brace against my desk. I have a little standing desk. I raise it up a few inches. I never really stand with it, but it's just great to lock the chair into place. And then I pull over one of my other chairs, kick my shoes off, and I have a blanket stashed in my desk drawers, and I will nap for like 45 minutes. And let me tell you, that next second half of the day is maybe the most productive half of the day ever. Couple things when it comes to bedtime routines anymore. With kiddo, my wife takes the big hit of that. So, which is actually takes, I want to say, 99.9% of it, because, well, you know, kiddo from the north likes to be near mommy, which is good. But what happens is that I'm on the couch, if I have a blanket on anymore, the cat will come up and lay across me. And then at 5 minutes, I'm out petting the cat. It's like the cat's purring, syncs up something in my brain. I'm like, oh, this is nice. and I'm out. Next thing I know, it's like 1:30 in the morning, and I'm waking off the couch going, oh boy, I gotta be up in 4.5 hours. Great. But I try to get to bed anymore between like 10 and 11. I can't fall asleep without talk radio of all the stupid things. I for like the last couple of decades, it's like Coast to Coast AM, the old Art Bell show back in the day.
Oh, it's
crazy. You turn it down low. It's like, oh, Chupacabra. Out. But the coolest thing I found, though, as far as like you talked about accessories in bedrooms and things, I found a stick-on phone holder for the side of the dresser. Now, we have IKEA dressers. These aren't heirloom things right now. So eventually they're going to particle board away. So I don't really give a rat's patootie about it. See, I'm censoring myself. But this thing is great because you put it here, the iPhone goes into nightstand mode, it goes red, it's like, ah, nice. And it's a perfect place to keep the phone right where I know where it is, right out of the way. Never worry about tripping on a cord or anything. It just kind of snakes up there. It's a beautiful thing. So, but I also admit, pillow-wise, I'm kind of a princess when it comes to it here. I bought a Metacline side sleeper pillow, and I bought it a long time ago, got away from it, went back to it recently here, and that thing is a godsend for like neck and shoulder pain. Now I sleep like a rather large baby in bed. So great show. Look forward to the rest. Thanks.
Thank you, friend from the north.
correspondent friend from the north.
Yep. And a kiddo from the north.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you can spend a lifetime finding like the right mattress, the right pillow, the right bedding. Like, I still don't love my pillows. I'm definitely super picky about that. Maybe I need to try a
special like side sleeper pillow.
Yeah. Cause like my big noggin is heavy and like it just compresses into the pillow. Then I wake up and like my head is like suffocating because I'm like in the pillow now.
So you just go like face down into the pillow?
No, I like on the side, but the pillow is kind of thick. And then it compresses where my head is. And so it's like the pillow is kind of like wrapped around the front of my face.
See,
so
and I always have one of my arms up. Always.
Yeah, but then my arm gets sore.
And then like you like adjust the pillows around the shoulder to support it. It's a whole system.
Everybody's got their system and it doesn't seem to work for any. Who gets good sleep?
My husband.
lucky him.
Right.
And lucky friend from the north for being able to take power naps. Like kind of on demand because I can't do it.
We frown upon people sleeping at my workplace. Like even if you're on your lunch, still not a good lunch.
Yeah, I love that he's got a sleep setup in his office. Yeah. But I mean, it's your lunch break, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
if you can kind of close yourself off and be in your own little world.
A blanket at my desk. That's because it's cold. And it was so miserable today. It was raining and cold and gray. And
it was a good day to nap. But
and I had my blanket.
But we want to hear about your sleeping habits. We want to hear about your thoughts on pottery, any of our past topics or whatever we're about to talk about. We have no idea. We haven't picked our topic yet. So give us
Let me throw the number out. Oh, fine.
Give us a call at 216-505-0180 and tell us what you think about whatever it is we're going to pick just moments from now. On that, Carla, are you ready?
I am ready. Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep,
boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, boop. Cartoons. I think we did animation. I don't know that we've done cartoons.
I think we did animation. I'm going to count this as a duplicate.
All right.
We did animation. Yeah.
Television. Gosh, we've talked about television a ton, but I don't know that we've ever had it as a topic.
You compiled a list of all our previous topics, right? Do we have television in there? I feel like we had television in there.
We'll call it duplicate because we even did like a TV theme songs bonus episode, which you should listen to if you haven't yet. It's kind of fun. All right.
Yeah.
Third time's a charm.
Life.
Culture. We've not done culture, but it's, I mean, how generic of a topic.
I love that you're like ragging on the topics when this is literally the topic generator that you built.
I didn't make the list. I'll say that again.
I know, but you found this list and put it in there.
This is like four different lists combined. What do you think, Carla? Should we...
I am game if you are, but all right, you wanna do it?
Let's do it, yeah.
All right, culture. Not a petri dish culture.
The thing, I mean, we
could be.
We could. It could. Yeah. It's a nice open-ended topic. It lets us go. Not that we tend to stay on topic anyway, but
no.
It lets us feel better about as much as we tend to wander off, as I'm doing right now. Like the first thing that came to mind, I remember in the early days of the internet, like one of the powerful things it was going to do is let you learn about and experience cultures from all over the world. But now it's just cats and porn and shopping.
So,
which I guess is cultural.
I think I get, because we've talked about this before, the difference between quote unquote internet and then social media.
Well, like in the early, I mean, there was no social media in the early days of the internet.
Right.
It was
chats,
like, right? It was
message
like
boards
to like right. You share thoughts and ideas, and I don't know. It just
too many people are on it now. It felt like an exclusive club at first. Like yeah. You had to have enough money to have a computer, and then to have access to internet, you needed to live sort of kind of close to an urban area. So
and either pay hourly or like go to a educational institution that happened to be on on a network. Okay, I'm done with culture. Your turn.
Well, I mean, because like, so you said, talk about your initial thought. So I guess my initial thought is always like a national culture. You know, as a kid, you learn about the cultures of the world and how they're
right
different. And now we've got kind of different cultures, you know, within our own nation. So you can get really micro with it. Like, this is the, you know, the Northeast Ohio fiber artists culture that we have. And they have their own in-jokes and stories that you hear about certain people. We haven't heard from our friend Molly in a little while, but there's an online knitting and crochet and fiber arts website called Ravelry, and it has a lot of very active message boards, and there have been some amazing controversies and things over the years, and it's very much a community, so it's like its own little culture. So I don't feel like we have to necessarily define what culture is.
Well, thinking of microcultures, you've got certain things that are very regional, you know,
like Florida Man. Yeah,
thank you.
Sorry.
I was thinking of euchre.
Oh.
Like euchre.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you look up the Wikipedia article about euchre, it's like it's big in like these three countries and in like the northeast part of the Midwest. Like it very specifically calls it all these countries and then like a very small part of the US. Outside of our little pocket here, Carla, euchre is not popular.
And if anyone is listening and doesn't know what euchre is, it's a card game.
It is a card game, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I think I told you, kiddo learned how to play euchre at summer camp this last year. And so we're going to get together with my mom, which gives us our fourth, and we are going to play some euchre. And kiddo is excited. Actually, I think all of us are excited.
And the other thing I think of is like how many trends have come and gone that have been like kind of cultural phenomenons? Because I was also thinking about both these things related to Dana and I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I had Monday off. First of all, they were playing Jungle Boogie.
And you and I are the ones to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Cause we both hail from a certain part of the state where apparently that's what you do. And you don't do that. You don't
anywhere
do that anywhere
else.
Else.
No. Yeah.
But I was also reminded of Rock Band. Like, do you remember what a thing Rock Band was?
Oh yeah.
That was like a cultural phenomenon. And now it's like, nothing.
So during kiddo's first grade year, we had some sort of like big snowstorm, but the kids had their Chromebooks. And so we did class from our family room down the basement. And her teacher got really excited because in the background, he could see we've still got the Rock Band instruments laying up against the wall. Is that Rock Band? Because he's probably around our age.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you have Rock Band. And kiddo has played. The biggest challenge is, of course, that she does not recognize the vast majority of the songs. So we have to struggle to find something that she knows.
like in my mind, when I hear songs that we played regularly on a Rock Band, like, cause there was like that default, like the 20 or so that it comes with, mm-hmm. and like, you could mm-hmm. buy a bunch of others, but there's just some yeah. that come with every game, and anything on that list, whenever I hear it, I think of Rock Band to this day. What are some other cultural phenomenons that have kind of come and gone, like came well, like so a that's... freight train and then just overnight were gone?
I mean, those are like, I think we've talked about like fads. I think the second thing I think of when I think of culture, I mean, not to ignore your question, but I'm ignoring your question. there's like the implication that culture and being cultured is highbrow and more elite.
Yeah.
So like if you are culture, you go to art museums and you go to wine tastings and you listen to the symphony and go to the ballet and do all these cultured things. And then pop culture is more vulgar. You know, it's for the common folks. It's popular.
And I mean, I straddle both sides of that line. Like, I enjoy art museums. I enjoy classical music, but I also like fart jokes. Like, I remember I was watching some show with some mutual acquaintances, and I was laughing at all the really dumb jokes. And it was clear that they found mm-hmm. my sense of humor a bit too lowbrow.
If it's the couple that I'm thinking of, then I have also run into that. Well, you and I have discussed before. You and I are classy, classy people.
Classy, classy people. Yes.
But yeah, so like being cultured is code, I guess, for having rarefied tastes and
being a little hoity-toity, basically.
A little, yeah, yeah. I will never forget. I didn't know Rob when I was an undergrad. So it was the guy that I was dating at the time. I was like, hey, my grandparents, his grandparents kind of helped raise him, are having friends over as like a friend's Christmas, and we can go. What he neglected to tell me was that his grandfather was the former mayor of the city, and the friends were all like deans of the university that we were attending. And not only was it like an older crowd, but it was definitely not like the vibe that I was used to, which was, it was a very NPR set, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was, you know, cultured. And here I showed up with my very pretty holiday pattern paper plate of homemade cookies to share because, you know, that's how I'm like,
picture everybody yeah. like in smoking jackets and
not smoking jackets, but like lots of,
or maybe one of those sweater vests.
Lots of
vests where the zipper like, goes like halfway
lots
down.
Of plush carpet. I mean, this has been, you know, two decades plus. So the details are hazy, but not a lot of people our age. And it was weird. Like there was punch. I can't remember the last time I went to a gathering at someone's house and there was punch. Like that's what you do at like church parties and stuff.
I have a similar story where I dated somebody very briefly in college. And it's one of those times where I think we both wanted to like each other, but we just kind of realized we...
Like on paper, it was fine.
Like,
but
right,
then,
on paper, it's yeah. fine. But it's just like after we actually hung out, we just both kind of like, this is not, this just
not
isn't
so
working. But I went over to her parents' house once and they lived in this big old ornate house. We walked into like her dad's study, right? And it's like got the pocket door, the big pocket doors mm-hmm, slide open. Mm-hmm. And he's got some sort of worldly music playing on his like a bootleg mini disc or something mm-hmm. like that. And he's got musical instruments in his room. He's got a big plush chair he's sitting in, flipping through the newspaper and just books and plants. He didn't do anything to suggest he's cultured. It's just that the surroundings around him made me feel like this is a cultured individual because his space makes him appear so.
Yeah. You know, and the way we've been framing this so far is like as if people who are cultured are snobbish or elitist. And I think really though, because like I know people like yourself, I have a lot of friends who are very eclectic in their interests. I think maybe to be cultured, you are curious about the world. And so you're learning about things, experiences, art forms, whatever, that are outside of what you would necessarily encounter every day. And so to be cultured, you have to go exploring socially.
Yeah, and that's because I don't like to do anything socially.
Well, I mean, socially versus like you're not in a science lab doing, you know, you're
right.
Driving
well, that's like
2 hours away to go look at a model Stargate, you know, well, whatever.
That's what, like, I don't go seeking it as much as just when I encounter it. Either I like it or I don't. And I find more often than not, I enjoy whatever the thing is. Like, I like classical music. I don't know that I would ever have known that I like classical music, obviously, until I actually sat down and kind of actively immersed myself in it. But it's not
that reminds me. You and Dana are going to come to my choir concert.
Are we? When is it?
You're not. It's the Sunday.
I swear we've said like eight
weekend.
Times we're going to go and we won't be here.
I know. Yeah.
Way
I was a little irritated. So for those listening, I'm in a choir. We do very
and
choir,
have been for a while.
Choiry music. Yeah. There was a little pause for COVID and then we're back.
Choiry choir.
Yeah. Like we do, you know, like Beethoven Symphony and Mendelssohn and Bach, and we'll do requiems, and the Brahms requiem was really cool. We did that 2 years ago. But yeah, our concert in like the Christmas season is typically a little bit later. But just because Thanksgiving is so late this year, it's the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. So my mom will actually be able to see it because we're going to go to see my mom at Thanksgiving Day and then snatch her and bring her back with us and keep her for a few days here.
Play
some euchre. If the weather behaves, we're going to take her to the zoo lights, which I don't know if that's considered cultured or not, but it's different and interesting. But yeah, so we'll go to the choir concert. And I felt like I don't go to choir concerts for other people. I enjoy singing and I like the music that we do, because like with a lot of things, when you get really into something and have an appreciation for it, you enjoy it more. But Rob and Kiddo will come to most of the concerts. And I thought it was important for Kiddo to know how to behave in that kind of environment. Like, you don't clap until the conductor signals that you can clap. So I feel like we're kind of teaching her culture, teaching her how to move within some of those circles so that she's prepared. I definitely remember in college, I did a study abroad for a summer in Salzburg, Austria, which is the birthplace of Mozart. And then Salzburg has an opera festival. And it's just an incredible classical music scene between symphony and opera and small ensemble groups. And we were part of like a language school. So they would get us student tickets for things. And we got student tickets to go see like a symphony orchestra production. And the other people that I was with, I don't think really like knew how to behave. And so they were taking pictures, like this is before smartphones were a thing. So like they're taking pictures with cameras during the performance. They were clapping loudly whenever there was a movement that they liked, which like in jazz, yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah. But yeah, and it's all these, there's so much unwritten etiquette around cultured events. You know, like if you go to a fancy meal and like which fork usually, do you eat with? And
usually you dress up a little bit, you know, like it's
right.
You don't go to the classical concert wearing your ratty shorts and a t-shirt.
Right. Unless you're like a rock musician, in which case that's cool then that you did that because, ooh, how daring.
It's expected. Yeah.
Right. So all these expectations built around participating in culture like that.
On that topic and on kind of showing Kiddo how to be, basically, we used to go to the Cleveland Orchestra often. It's been a while. A couple years ago, we went to they do a very nice Christmas concert, a very nice Christmas program.
Yes.
Obviously, multiples of it because it's a very popular event. And the family in front of us, the little girl, she was super adorable. And they were, I mean, the family's all dressed up, but she's young enough that her mom obviously had done her hair, right? Mm-hmm. And there was like 37 jingle bells in her hair.
Oh,
so as she would
move,
like her hair was an instrument. And so like I found it very distracting because I'm listening to the orchestra.
Like it's cute.
And then like it's cute, but like all I heard was this girl's hair.
Like those are not cheap
No,
concerts.
It was. And it's like, it's an, am I the AITA here?
Right.
I'm also very, I don't know, noise, like the sound, like everything that's like peanut. We can't give the dog squeaky toys.
You think it's misophonia?
Possibly. What's that?
It's like a rage reaction to noises. Like I cannot stand listening to mouth noises, people chewing. Oh yep. My gosh, it's the worst. And
I think it's inconsistent sounds that are not supposed to be there or something like that. I can't describe it. But anyway.
No squeakies for you.
Okay, so we both took foreign languages in school.
Indeed.
And I took French, and our French teacher was very big on not just teaching the language, but teaching the culture as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of French culture related content to the program outside of just teaching the language. You took German. Was it the same or was it more focused on the language?
Oh, no, it's got a lot of the culture. Like the textbooks are written to incorporate a lot of the culture as well. So like the way that their schooling system works, because we were in high school, so we were learning about high schools. And so not only like their various tracks, so you like test into, like it's not like here where everyone just goes to high school. Like it's kind of a, you can either go to a trade school, a kind of normal school, or a college prep school. And they have different length requirements. You study for a different number of years and what the school day looks like. A little bit of the German history, there were poetry competitions. So I was in the German dancing club and we learned German folk dances.
I did not know that.
Yes. And it was so wild because when I went to Austria, I heard that there's all these like little tiny plazas kind of squirreled away all over because Salzburg is built between some mountains along a river. So there is no grid as such, right? So where different streets meet, sometimes you'll have these little plazas that are the size of an apartment building's parking lot. You know, they're small. As I heard this music and I went and I looked and it was like kids probably, you know, around like age 8 to 10 or so doing the dance that I had learned. I was so excited to see it.
Did you join in?
No, they were like dressed. There was a big crowd around them that I assume was their parents and other family members. And so, yeah, you've been to enough like Oktoberfests and German American festivals and stuff. Like there's a whole culture of folk dancing. So, yeah. And talking about how you know, the country as it is today is relatively recent, you know, how it was really more like a collection of duchies and small kingdoms and things like that for a very long time. Lots about the food.
Big on food. There was a lot of food related content. And we did pretty regular like food days where I would always go find Orangina because that was a French orange drink.
So as it turns out, Germans are really good at desserts and bread and regular food, maybe not so, like if you like sausage, you're in luck. We got lots of different kinds of sausage.
Now, when you were in Austria, were there any like, was there anything that surprised you? Is there anything about the culture that you weren't expecting or prepared for?
So you could definitely tell like differences in generations in a weird way. I don't know what year English started being just like mandatory, taught in schools from a very young age, but everybody under a certain age could at least speak some English. Nobody over a certain age could speak any English. So there was this really stark divide. And it wasn't so much that I like, oh, you don't speak English. It was more of the like, this is very, very clearly a generational thing informed by what happened in Germany and Austria after, you know, there were some events in the 1940s you may have heard about. And so it was interesting. I was also very surprised that there was a Pearl Vision in town because my glasses broke while I was there and I had to go to a Pearl Vision. I think I've told that story.
You did mention it before.
So like of all of the chains to be here, like not McDonald's. I mean, there might have been a McDonald's, but I didn't see one. You know, not any of the things that we think of as very ubiquitous and very iconically American, it was the Eyeglass Place.
Did you ever watch The Amazing Race? I think it's actually still on.
The reality TV show? Yeah. I did not.
It's actually one of the few reality shows that I enjoy, because they legitimately travel all over the world, and a lot of the activities are based on, I'm sure they're hyped up a little bit, but a lot of the activities are based on the cultures of each of the places that they visit. And I was reminded of the show because you're talking about like the dance and how you saw like the dancer learn and being performed. That was one of like the activities each team had
to
learn the dance and then perform it in front of the dancers until they got it right to be able to move on to the next phase. I don't think reality shows are either of our things, but that one's actually kind of a fun one. That was one of Dana Mai's things was watching Amazing Race. It's been like 30 seasons, I think. It's been on forever.
Oh, I don't even know.
So it's kind of, I feel like.
Also, reality TV seasons, it's not like there's one season each year. Like they can have like four seasons in one year type of thing. So.
Right. Yeah. Cause they probably, I mean, they film the whole thing over the course of like a week or two.
Yeah.
And so they can be filming the next one while the past one's getting edited. And then the one before that's airing,
well,
right?
We know nothing about that, Matt, about it taking way longer to edit than to record.
Oh gosh. I'm already dreading editing this. Like I find myself now watching our timer as we record.
Yeah, I can
start to shut things down a little bit when it's like, okay, I gotta edit this.
That was the benefit of me driving to your house, is I couldn't see anything from the screen. Now I can see it all.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. That's all right. I don't know. Like I said, I feel like you know, as a kid, you think about it as like us versus them, this alien other thing that was cool and you could learn about. And now I see all these little microcultures all around us. So you've got your amateur aviator. I don't know. What do you call your flying pilot culture? Do you guys have like, well, because like, I think I told you I have a former colleague who's into RVing, and there's like a whole culture around RVing. There's a culture around flying too, isn't there?
Yeah, there is to a degree. So around RVing, you're right. I've seen it a bit as we've been camping, right? And a friend of mine just went on a several week camping tour kind of a thing with his wife. Ooh. And their camper. That's one of the cultural things he wasn't expecting about being at all these campgrounds, is like, everybody wanting to check out your rig, you know, and like everybody wanting you to check out their rig and look at,
don't care.
You know, here's how I did the solar panel and stuff like that. And he's like, I would just build a fence. I'd pull my camper in and like set up a fence to keep everyone out. He's like, I enjoyed it, you know, but it's just, I wasn't expecting everybody to be, here's how our septic system works in our, giant camper. But I mean, I have not been exposed to it like in depth. I mean, there are people out there where aviation is like their life. It's all they do every weekend. They're flying somewhere. They're always going to like fly-ins. There's like pancake breakfast and stuff like that every weekend that you can fly to. And it sounds a lot like camping, where everybody wants to show off their plane and look at other people's planes. And I never got too much into kind of the culture part of it. I will say, like, there's always something going on at the airport. You know, there's always some sort of drama or something like that. And everybody knows everybody's.
Well, so you kind of raise an interesting point. Like, does it need to count as being your culture or one of your cultures? Because you could probably have more than one. Does it have to be a part of your identity? Like, to be your culture?
I mean, and that's a really good question. It's hard for me to answer because I'm not all in on any one specific hobby.
Yeah.
So you're right. I feel like I'm not really in any of those clubs, so to speak, because like it's not all I do. It's not part of the culture.
It just for being knowledgeable about it. It has to be part of your identity.
It's what you do.
Oh, what was it? Rachel Dolezal. Do you remember that? She was the head of the NAACP, maybe in like the Seattle area. It's a couple years old, but there was a white woman who, with face tanner and very curly hair, passed herself off as being biracial African American and rose to a prominent role representing Black people in America And I want to say the last time she was in the news, like, she had changed her name and she had an OnlyFans where she was selling feet pics or something. Or hand pics. Something like that.
Quite a shift.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by culture. Just because you're knowledgeable about something doesn't mean you're of that culture, right? Like,
well, and I feel like certain things are more likely to suck people into that identity. Like, do you remember CrossFit was a big thing for a while? It probably still is.
Yeah.
But the running kind of joke was,
how do you know if someone's doing CrossFit? Don't worry.
Yeah,
they'll tell you.
Don't worry. They'll tell you.
Same thing about vegans.
And I'll say, and the about pilots too. Like, how do you know? How do you spot the pilot in the room? Don't worry. They'll tell you. I have a funny story about Jim. I hope he's listening. I think he will laugh.
Jim!
At hearing.
It's been so long, Jim.
It's been too long. But we flew to an airport that had a restaurant on field. We went to the restaurant for like a Sunday brunch kind of a thing. And the waitress came over and Jim just made some comment about, oh, well, you know, as a pilot, I'm here, or just something like that. And as she was walking away, he kind of realized what he had done.
Oh, no.
And he got me a coffee mug that says something like, have I told you yet that I'm a pilot? So,
I have a gag gift for you, by the way. It doesn't have anything to do with being a pilot, but you just remind talking about Jim giving you something funny. I have a gag gift for you.
Get to see in like 6 weeks or so. Or whenever, probably later, whenever we do our friend's Christmas.
I mean, have we even started talking about that yet? We have not.
I don't think we start planning our friend's Christmas anymore until after Christmas has happened.
It doesn't take place until after Christmas, but the planning feels like it goes on forever. In any case.
I'll see it sometime next year, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, I feel like there's certain hobbies that are just more likely to have that kind of identity element than others. Like, who makes, I don't know. Well, I guess crafting too, you know, people.
Crafting, guns and like shooting firearms. Like, some people, you know, do it to have a skill and some people are into it. Like, that's, you know, an identity.
Cycling. When I was dabbling in cycling a little bit, there was definitely like, that's an in club.
Yeah.
You know, with the very expensive equipment and the jerseys and the whole thing.
I don't like the bikes that make you lean over. I like the bikes with the upright handlebars like I'm a child.
Those are the ones that, but those are not comfortable long term though.
Oh,
like,
but
if you're doing a lot of riding, you need the...
My lower back can't handle the leany overness.
Anyway, what are some hobbies that don't have that cultural identity? Like, if you do this thing, nobody, like, there's not an in club to
adult coloring.
Adult coloring? Okay. That's a good one. I don't know anybody who's going to adult coloring.
Like, it's popular. It's popular, but yeah, it's kind of like a thing you do on your own.
Baking?
Maybe. I mean, unless you're... It's not necessarily a group activity, but there are like definitely people who are into it.
But they don't have special uniforms or dress codes like golfing does. Or
that's true. I guess it's not monolithic. You know, you like to bake, but it's not like you all buy the same stuff. I feel like I am kind of fading a little bit. I don't know if you can see, but like I'm starting to slump.
Yeah,
I've been up so long.
Yeah, you're looking pretty I'm yawning too. Like, we did the sleep one last time and we were like, oh, we're yawning because of the topic. I'm just yawning because I'm tired now.
It's dark and it's cold and I got up at 4:30 and left the house at 5:15. Although today was Starbucks free cup day, where you get the free plastic red cup when you order a holiday drink. Now, do I have a cupboard full of these from previous years? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do. But every year it's a different pattern. So now I have this year's. Now, sometimes we get more than one for that year, but I've decided that is not necessary anymore.
Well, happy cup day, Carla.
It was a happy cup day.
And happy, not too far from Thanksgiving. And speaking of culture, Christmas is not too far down the road.
Yeah. We got a lot of holidays.
It's interesting to see how everybody celebrates Christmas just a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Or those who don't celebrate have their own things to celebrate this time of
year. Yeah. Well, because we just had Diwali was on Halloween. And then right before then, was Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Now it's the food holidays. I like the food holidays. I was just, you know, complaining to someone earlier this week. I'm like, this is the time of year where I just don't want to leave the house. I want to stay home under a blanket and knit and read books and not leave my house until like April would be really nice. But instead, I will commute to work, and it was gross today.
And this is the time of year where I want to go somewhere warm, and that is exactly what I'm going to do.
Yay!
Yay. So next time you hear us, I will be still looking at you through a computer monitor, just a different computer monitor in a different place.
Yeah. And hopefully we got all the computer settings figured out and that they stay.
Yeah, we got yours figured out. Now I'm like, I have this big mixer and all of this stuff here in the podcast studio, which, as you love to point out, is just my basement. I'm taking a much smaller amount of equipment because it has to go to Florida with me. So we'll be doing this exercise again of figuring this all out. And in the meantime, I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we will see you soon.